Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him,
"Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?"
Jesus said to him,
"Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments: you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother."
He said to him,
"Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth."
Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said,
"You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me."
When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples,
"How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God."
And the disciples were perplexed at these words, but Jesus said to them again,
"Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God."
They were greatly astounded and said to one another,
"Then who can be saved?"
Jesus looked at them and said,
"For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible."
Peter began to say to him,
"Look, we have left everything and followed you."
And Jesus said,
"Truly, I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, grace to you and peace from God, our Creator and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I want to begin this morning with a little bit of poetry. I hope that's okay. This poem is a favorite of mine. Now, I will admit, I'm no expert on poetry. I might not have the best taste. I'm not even really sure how I stumbled across this poem. It's by a British poet. Her name is Wendy Cope. But this poem will help frame the way we approach our gospel text today. So here is the poem. It is entitled "The Orange." At lunchtime, I bought a huge orange. The size of it made us all laugh. I peeled it and shared it with Robert and Dave. They got quarters, and I had a half. And that orange, it made me so happy, as ordinary things often do just lately. The shopping, a walk in the park. This is peace and contentment. It's new. The rest of the day was quite easy. I did all the jobs on my list and enjoyed them and had some time over. I love you. I'm so glad I exist. Well, Cope's writing, simple and light, is a fun reminder this morning of the gentleness that we can carry as we approach the important concerns in our lives. Beauty resides in everyday items, and love exists not merely in grand gestures, but in the small things of the day. A walk outdoors, shopping together, or even splitting an orange between good friends. These are the places where we can easily see God's love being reflected between one another. Well, in our scripture for today, we are reading about those heavy topics: money, salvation, and sin. Whenever difficult issues like these come up, I think oftentimes our first reaction is to be judgmental of ourselves or be judgmental of others. In our scripture, we hear from a rich man who comes before Jesus and he leaves dejected, for he would not give up his wealth and follow Jesus. I don't know about you, but I think the mind often wanders quickly to questions like, really, Jesus? All of it? Can't you cut this guy a little bit of slack? You don't even give him a second offer? I think we start wondering, who are we in this passage? We may feel the heaviness of our own judgment weighing us down. But I want to start before they even talk about money. This rich man brings up a conversation about the commandments with Jesus. Jesus demonstrates humility, and he defers all of the goodness to God alone. And then Jesus, he listens to the man, and he explains. This man explains that he's always kept the commandments. And I'm picturing in my mind right now, as he's talking, the man and Jesus. Jesus gets a big grin on his face. Wow, how great is that? This guy has never broken any commandments, not a single time. He doesn't really need me. He already deserves salvation. He follows all of the rules. There are many important words in this gospel text, but there's a few that really, really stick out to me. They're in verse 21. When Jesus, before he even says anything to the man, it says, Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Loved him. Jesus does not want to torment this young man. He's not trying to hang shame around his neck or convince him of his damnation. Jesus simply points out, as he observes this man with deep care, respect, and love, that money is something he knows that this man has a hard time with. He cannot come before God and say that he is without blame. He too falls short of the goodness of God. Basically, this man is not perfect. And that's okay. We are human, and so is this wealthy man who comes and approaches Jesus. He may come into the conversation with Jesus with little humility, but he certainly leaves with some. Jesus, who he calls teacher, truly does teach this man a lesson. Jesus teaches that all the wealth and the power that comes along with it is nothing when standing before God. Salvation is not earned by us. It isn't purchased with dollars or euros or pesos or any other currency. No, we can't store away our salary in a 401k and deposit it in God's checking book when we retire. Our salvation was purchased by Jesus in his act of sacrifice on the cross and in his resurrection. All the power or wealth we can amass will always pale in comparison to the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. It can never be replaced. In some ways, as Jesus talks with this man, he uses money, but you could insert anything into this conversation. Nothing will ever replace the grace and mercy that God has for us. No works will do. This man that came to Jesus could have wanted to hoard anything. He could have had any skill that he would not use to glorify God, and that could have been the conversation for the day. We know little about this man's wealth or his relationship to it, but we do know he came before the Son of God proud, and he left humble. But many who are first will be last, and last will be first. Now, money is just a simple example because we know all about money, right? Throughout time and into today, money is a stressor in our lives. Money comes with the understanding that we can have something when we give it away. Jesus reminds us that mortals cannot sacrifice anything that would make them deserve the love of God. Money is simply a tool. Our relationship to money is where things become complicated. If you're reading a parable that Jesus teaches, there's a 1 in 7 chance that money will be a part of that teaching. It's an important tool, but it's not something that has to define us. No, our relationship to money is what makes it such a strong teaching tool. It becomes so addictive. It's something that drives people to risk their lives, break relationships with one another, and go to war. It becomes addictive, money. And maybe not even the money itself, but the security and power that is wielded with it. I didn't look this morning, but for the last week, the number one program, if you clicked on Netflix, has been a show called Squid Game. In fact, that program is number one in over 70 countries around the world. It's a fictional account, but it's not far off from how far we will go to have money and all of the pursuits that come with it. We wouldn't be so drawn to this if it didn't tap into our fascination with money and all that spawns from our pursuits for it. But any tool can be used in a positive or a negative way. Money does not have to be a barrier for us in the way that it so often becomes. In fact, money can be a transformational tool. Giving to the poor, building places that all people can be cared for, giving to our congregation or our community organizations that bind us together in love and service. When we let go of that tight fist around our money and we offer it freely to help others, we begin to form a healthier relationship with this tool and the way that it can be used to build up the kingdom of God, not tearing it apart. This lesson brings us back once again to humility and love. We must do nothing to earn the love of Jesus. Jesus already loves us so, so deeply. Just like he looked on the rich man, he observes us and he loves us. He loves you for the way that you are, both broken and sinful, but created in God's image and beloved as well. We are called over and over again to love God and to love our neighbor. money for the man in the story in the gospel that Jesus speaks with. He sees money as a tool, but more than a tool, he sees money as an idol. It can consume us as well in the illusion of power that it brings. Jesus knows well that the only power any mortal commands is temporary. God's power is eternal. Being generous and humble with money allows us to let go of the power that money holds over us. We can turn it over to others who are impoverished. We can build systems where we welcome all and we care for all. And we can find our happiness and our fulfillment elsewhere. We can celebrate those small moments in life that we get to spend with our loved ones and our friends. The fulfillment that comes when the day is easy and our needs are met. If we lift those moments up, we no longer must cling to our pursuit for more. We can be grateful and thankful for what God provides. And then we can turn outwards, passionately pursuing justice with every tool that we have, for every neighbor that we have. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for as you look upon us, we know that you are filled with mercy and love. Remind us that this love is our fulfillment. Let go of the things in life that we put over you. When there is injustice in the world, move us to use every tool in our disposal that we have to lift up our neighbors, and to lift up you. Amen.